Professor Chomsky, I just want to take you back to the beginning of your talk. You talk about your 1967 book about responsibility of intellectual. And I just want to ask you that other people have follow up to talk about this topic. Edward Said talk about responsibility of intellectual in his BBC Reith lecture. And he pointed out speaking truth to power. And I think reading subsequently, you kind of give a qualification that it is a waste of time speaking truth to power. I would just want you to comment on your difference between CI on this topic. In addition to that, I would like, embedded in your assumptions in the responsibility of intellectual, you're saying that in democratic society, there is much less constraint for the intellectual class to expose lies that government do in the name of the nation, the population, and so on. Is this unique to United States, taking you back to your Orwell's, George Orwell's problem you were formulating in the, around the 70s? Was Orwell looking at this intellectual class in the same way, or even back to Jonathan Swift, looking at the relationship between England and Ireland and other writers who were writing English rule in Ireland? Is there some evolution as we have been moving and culminating, seeing in the Iraq war, where this fact constraint is changing over time, an intellectual can actually be more responsible and answer your question?
Well, Edward Said is an old and close friend of mine, and actually I doubt that we disagreed about this. The question is what you mean by the phrase speaking truth to power. I mean, if you take it literally, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, what's the point of speaking truth to McGeorge Bundy or Henry Kissinger? I mean, they know the truth. They don't want to hear it from us. We have nothing to tell them. So speaking truth to power is a total waste of time. What isn't a waste of time is trying to tell the truth about power. Now, that makes sense. But then what you're doing is engaging with the general population and trying to become involved. And you don't speak truth to them either. After all, who the hell am I? Why should I tell truth to the population? What you try to do is what a good teacher does. You try to encourage people to figure it out for themselves and then do something about it. So what you should be doing is engaging with other people to try to use whatever, you know, good fortune you have, maybe privilege, resources, training, whatever it may be, to help them try to figure out the truth for themselves. Now, that makes sense, and get them to overthrow power, not to talk truth to it. As far as the history is concerned, I mean, there's kind of some real truisms. I mean, I hate to say them because they're so obvious. I mean, the more freedom and privilege you have, the more opportunity you have, okay? Now, that's just elementary. The more opportunity you have, the more responsibility you have, okay? And responsibility to do something useful with the privilege and freedom that you enjoy. And we do enjoy an enormous amount of freedom and privilege. It was never given to us by the powerful. It was fought for by the powerless, and they won it, and they achieved it, and you got to defend it, and you got to use that legacy to go on. But the fact of the matter is that people like us are uniquely free and from oppression. I mean, a lot of people complain about it, but the kind of repression that exists in places like this, the United States, is minuscule as compared with what happens elsewhere in the world. I mean, take, say, U.S. colonies, okay? So here's something else interesting about ourselves. We just passed the 25th anniversary of the assassination of the Archbishop of El Salvador, who was known as a voice for the voiceless. He was trying to speak for the poor. He was killed by forces, you know, that we armed and trained. That set off the beginning of a decade of monstrous atrocities in El Salvador, run by the guys now in office, which ended symbolically in 1989 by the murder of six leading intellectuals, Jesuit intellectuals, priests, had their heads blown off by elite military forces armed and trained and directed by the United States, who had already compiled a record of, you know, killing tens of thousands of the usual victims, I mean, peasants, working people, and so on. How much commemoration was there in Cambridge of the 25th anniversary of the assassination of the Archbishop and the 15th anniversary of the murder of six leading Latin American intellectuals? In fact, who in Cambridge could even tell you their names? I mean, let alone have read anything they wrote. Okay, now do a small thought experiment. Imagine that something like this had happened, say, in Czechoslovakia. Okay, so in 1980, the Archbishop was assassinated by Russian-backed forces. And in 1989, Václav Havel and half a dozen of his associates had their heads blown off by elite Czech forces armed and trained by the Russians. Would we know about it? You bet. Would there be a commemoration? I mean, you're screaming to the heavens. In fact, we could have had a nuclear war because we're so outraged by what they did. When we do it, it's gone. There was no, to my knowledge, there was no commemoration of any of this in Cambridge. There was in Boston, but not in Cambridge. There was in a church in downtown Boston. But, you know, that's part of the difference between educated elites who are protected from knowledge and understanding, that's a large part of what education's about, and people who don't have those advantages of being defended from the truth and being indoctrinated. Okay, that tells you something about intellectuals. The Jesuit intellectuals who were murdered in El Salvador at our hands, and the Archbishop, the same, they were not speaking truth to power. They were trying to help people understand what was happening to them and do something about it. So they got their heads blown off. That's not going to happen to us. And the same is true in quite a few other countries in the world, where intellectuals do not simply serve power and support violence and terror, but actually protest against it, sometimes very bravely, facing real serious repression, assassination, for example, or torture in prisons. I mean, the fact that we don't do it is just criminal. But if to answer your other question, there's nothing new about that. I mean, the history of intellectuals is by intellectuals, almost by definition. So therefore, it sounds pretty. You know, like if you had a history of taxi drivers written by taxi drivers, that would sound pretty too. But you have to ask yourself, can we believe the history of themselves written by intellectuals? Well, in order to answer that question, you have to look at the facts. Right. And it turns out the facts are quite different. Overwhelmingly, intellectuals have been servants of power. There's always some kind of fringe of dissidents. And that goes back, that goes back as far as you want, and furthermore, we all know it. We may not notice it, but we all know it. So go back to the...
We've run out of time.
Pardon? Who were on the fringe and were killed. Okay.
But we are out of time. I'm sorry. We could probably go on and on, but unfortunately the program is on a tight schedule. Perhaps there will be time to talk later. Let's have a round of applause one more time. The program continues at 2 p.m. this afternoon. Please come back and see the film The Cuchi Tunnels, and meet the filmmaker. That will be screened on the third floor of the Student Center at 2 p.m. this afternoon. Thank you for attending.